promising data in Japan. And before Davos, world leaders get a thick report of global risks.
The breakup of the internet, AI weeds, low-level AI that just slowly choke away the internet.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. It's a volatile indicator, but Japanese machinery orders jumped to the highest level since 2008 in November, a promising sign that companies might finally be putting cash piles into use. Marcel Thielant covers Japan at Capital Economics in Singapore and explains the significance of today's figures.
The data suggests that firms are starting to invest more, which is necessary given that they face some capacity shortages now. And other data, export data, consumption data, all were pretty positive last quarter. So the economy probably recorded another strong quarter of growth in the fourth quarter of last year.
What do you think is fueling that confidence? Is it, for example, a sign that Abenomics is starting to work?
The global economy is just doing very well. I think that's the main driver. I mean, obviously, we've also had some domestic factors. The economy was being held back for 1 or 2 years after the sales tax hike, and that drag has now started to fade, so consumers are more willing to spend again. We've seen some pretty strong employment gains, so more people are in paid employment, so labor income is rising, that's driving consumption. And then, of course, with the global economy going strong, exports are now at the record high.
But lots of economists are warning globally that despite all this good news, there are definitely still risks ahead. In terms of Japan, what are the risks?
One risk is simply that the economy is running into a number of capacity constraints. If you look, for example, overtime hours worked are now about as high as they can get, and the unemployment rate is extremely low. So firms are finding it increasingly difficult to find additional workers. And I mean, there's some signs some firms are going bankrupt because they can't find workers. Others are curtailing opening hours. I think that's one factor. And I think another big risk is that the Bank of Japan commits some kind of policy error. But we saw that last week when there was some speculation that the Bank of Japan might start to tighten policy, and that's resulted in a pretty sharp appreciation of the yen. We don't think this will happen, but if the bank decides to lift its 10-year yield target to support the banks, that could drive a big appreciation of the yen and slow the economy.
Economist Marcel Thielant. Let's do the numbers. Commodities investors are taking last year's gains off the table. Global oil prices are drifting lower alongside gold, copper and other metals. That action, despite today's positive economic data, helped pull Japan's Nikkei down 83 points, or 0.35%, from a 26-year high reached yesterday. Next week, world leaders, including President Trump, meet at the World Economic Forum in Davos, and there's a lot to digest in terms of global risks. Angus Collins, lead author of a new report by the WEF out this morning, told me first about the economic picture.
There's quite a mixed economic picture at the moment. On the one hand, the mood music is better than it's been, I think, globally at any time since the financial crisis. We've got what looks like solid and broad-based growth across the world. But one of the key messages that we're trying to get across in the Global Risk Report this year is that that mood music, that headline growth, should absolutely not distract attention from the chronic problems. Trade is one of them, protectionism is one of them, asset prices, indebtedness, these are other things we talk about in the report.
Environmental risks is one thing the report talks about extensively, and it makes for really stark reading.
Some of the things that we're looking at this year, obviously weather-related issues. There was huge numbers of extreme weather events during 2017. 2017 is expected to be in the three hottest years on record, the hottest ever without El Nino effects, and there were record temperatures in many parts of the world, from Africa to South America, Southern Europe. Between 1970 and 2012, 58% of populations of vertebrate species, so fish, mammals, birds, amphibians, have been lost. Insect populations down by three quarters over the last 25 years.
And all of this has implications, for example, for global food stocks.
Yes, absolutely. There is a 1 in 20 chance now in any given decade that weather-related, so heat, flood, drought, will cause a simultaneous failure of maize production in the world's two largest producers, China and the US.
And Angus, in terms of future shocks, again, I mean, this makes such grim reading. You're talking about the death of trade, democracy under threat, inequality, war without rules. There's an awful lot to digest there. What's the main takeaway that leaders at Davos should be thinking about?
So we have things like the breakup of the internet into national or regional, effectively walled gardens. We have another internet-related one about what we're calling AI weeds, which is looking at the development of artificial intelligence not from one of the familiar prisms, which is that a superintelligence will develop and take over the world, but actually low-level AI, that it could just slowly choke away the internet.
Now, Donald Trump is attending Davos. Does he have a copy of your report?
I think you'd have to ask the White House. But look, 2018 is a year of increasing risks. And I'm very happy to be launching the Global Risk Report ahead of Davos, at which an unprecedented number of global leaders are going to be listening to the messages.
Angus Collins. Finally, the love-hate relationship between Britain and France over Brexit and migrants extends, apparently, to artwork too. Ahead of this week's Anglo-French summit, France might finally loan Britain the famed Bayeux Tapestry. It depicts the Norman conquest of Britain, and it hasn't left France for 950 years, despite numerous requests. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.